Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller podcast. I'm glad you're able to listen in with us whatever day you're listening in from and wherever you may be listening in from, whether your car, in your home, out on a run, or who knows where. But I'm glad you're able to join us as we just kind of talk life, we talk Bible, we talk community life, and lately we've been focusing a whole lot on prayer and what that looks like for us. And I want to continue along those lines as we look to this week and even next week, because I think it's something that is worth addressing, especially in a time where we are at a distance. We took a look a couple weeks ago at what rest looks like and what biblical rest looks like. And even though we can find ourselves having rest many times, as we saw with Jesus in his own ministry, what starts off of going to go find some time to rest and pray turns into a ministry opportunity or something comes up. Last week, we took a look at laments and what it means for us. Again, hopefully you had a chance to play everybody's favorite game and the fastest growing biblical game show right now, which is Name That Psalm. Which we just invented, but looking at how all different psalms, how we can see how they're all categorized into really four different groups. It's individual lament, a community lament, an individual praise, and a community praise. And you can really see this in almost every single psalm that you look at, one of those categories. Laments, we saw last week, make up one third of all of the psalms, and it's maybe because naturally we like to complain about things. And I can say this, last night, even in our own family, every night we've been going out on walks, and I love going out on a walk in the evening. And I'll tell you that just as we get started, and this is not going to paint a generalization of Saskatchewan and where we are right now, but we live right across the street from a big park, school, there's tennis courts, football field, and all of it's closed right now. And so we go walking through the park in the evening, and there's these jackrabbits, very large jackrabbits. And Ari, Levy, and myself go out every night, and our new favorite pastime has been herding jackrabbits. I know it sounds crazy, and I think it is. I made the mistake at one point of saying, you know, if we catch a jackrabbit, then I'm sure it'll be our pet. And that lit a fire under them. And ever since then, all we do is try to catch jackrabbits, to the point where we almost got close one time. And there's a legitimate worry inside of me of like, what do I do if we catch one of these things? But we go out and we normally in the evenings, we'll walk through the park and we'll, we've actually been able to herd, you know, about two or three jackrabbits all the way around the entire school, and around the entire school twice, and then we get them so they're in a place where they are in the playground cage area. Like I said, it's like the oddest pastime, but yet it is one of the funniest things that we do, and we recap it every night. But last night, I had to walk to the store. I wanted to walk to the store, which is a little longer of a walk. And let me tell you, there were laments. there was complaints about how long the walk was. It was probably about, when all was said and done, it was probably about 2 miles, like total. So nothing crazy. But you would have thought that this was like a 40-mile hike only uphill. And there was laments and there was complaints about absolutely everything. And then, I mean, on my side, there was laments being like, well, I thought this was a good idea. Now, clearly, this is not. But in general, we like to sometimes complain and mumble and mutter about things. And I think that kind of comes naturally, which probably also explains why a third of all of the Psalms we read are laments. Most of them are expressing the writer's situation where they need something or where they're in affliction. And I think that goes for us as well, that we find ourselves going to God when we're in need of something, because of our current situation, or there's some affliction going on with us. And but what we looked at, and I just want to briefly touch upon it because we looked at it all last week, was we saw that there really is a formula for how we go to God. Yes, we can state our complaint and our petition for what we want God to do, even a call for vengeance about what we want him to do against specific people. But yet, one of the things that we also see is this return to saying, God, if whatever happens, I trust you. And so this expression of trust and expression of confidence, but also a vow to praise and thank God following deliverance, however that may be. And that's where it kind of brings us to today, where we can actually see, we can actually take a look at Psalms of Thanksgiving, that vow that is expressed in Psalms that are lamenting, how we actually have to respond to when God answers our prayers. Because again, it's one of those things that I find we often leave by the wayside when God answers prayers. You know, we don't always share about how God has answered prayers. And so Psalms of Thanksgiving are very much an acknowledgement of the fact that God has answered our prayers, both as individuals and as a community. But it's not just to God, it's that vow that we will praise your name in the courts, we will give thanks to you in the courts, we will share about what is done. And so there's this, Psalms of Thanksgiving, when we read them, are all about expressing thanks, expressing praise. But the second thing that we see is that they're also meant to be a witness. Very key in the Psalms that we often don't look at is that it is supposed to be that witness to those around how God has answered prayers. Yes, it is a response to God answering a prayer that was made in lament. And so obviously there's a connection between lament Psalms and Psalms of Thanksgiving. But I wanted to just, again, I don't want to make this sound formulaic. What I do want to have is us look at this and say, you know what? There are some things that we see the psalmists do as they talk with God and just be willing to put themselves out there and share their relationship with God, you know, through the good, the bad, the ugly, you name it, right? And whenever we see a psalm of Thanksgiving, there's usually some key characteristics and things that we see. One is invoking God's name and calling out to God. Much like we see in the laments, this calling out to God is a very important thing. We call out to him in lament, we call out to him in thanksgiving. It's meant to have this symmetry, right, where we don't just call out to him in lament, and then when he answers our prayers, we take the credit for it, right? And so we see this. But then we get to the main section of the Psalms, and we'll touch upon this. We're going to look at Psalm 116 as a great example of this. So if you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, or you can take a look at it later. What we usually see in the main section of Thanksgiving Psalms is a recap. You know, if we were watching Netflix or something, it would say, previously on. And that's kind of what happens in that main section of that psalm. That very first part is a previous statement about the distress that you were in. Previously in my life, when I was lamenting. And then it segues in. A description of the previous state of distress. Then the prayer for deliverance, which was uttered in that state. So they actually not only say what they were going through, but they say what they prayed for during that time. And then is an account of God's acts and God's deliverance. And all of these work beautifully and flow beautifully together. Is again, it's an acknowledging who God is, acknowledging who we are and where we were, acknowledging our reliance on God, and acknowledging that God is sovereign. Like there's Psalms of Thanksgiving are so much about acknowledging who we are and who God is that it creates a really beautiful picture here. And understanding those things, understanding who God is, understanding who we are, understanding how God is sovereign, leads us to that next last final section, which is really a reference to the fulfillment of the vow that was in that lament. God, I will praise your name in the courts. Whatever happens, God, I will praise your name. When you answer this prayer, I will make sure I praise your name. I will make sure I will tell everyone about it. And we see that kind of in the parables of Jesus, of the lost sheep and of the lost coin, something very similar, right? Where something, a prayer has been answered, something that was lost has been found, and yet there's this great party that happens. This is very much that parable, or those parables, are very much a reflection of that Thanksgiving psalm mentality and structure, the way Jesus lays it out. And I know I'm going down a rabbit trail, no pun intended, given the story I told earlier. That'd be a rabbit herding trail. Thank you. I'll be here all week. But one of the things that I think is very important for us to look at in New Testament stuff, and this is just a side note, this is probably another podcast for another day, but we look at the original context of some of this stuff, right? And when you understand that what the parable that Jesus is talking about with the lost coin and the lost sheep, and what it would, understanding what we're talking about here with Thanksgiving Psalms and what needs to happen in Psalms of Thanksgiving, you actually see the same pattern in those parables of Jesus where something is lost, a prayer is answered, an account is given, and then a vow is fulfilled as they throw a party and they celebrate the lost coin. And so it's when you look at that, you can understand how someone hearing that in Jesus' time would have understood this whole thing as thanksgiving to God, right? And also making that connection between God the Father and God the Son, right? As Jesus himself is telling this story. So a real cool connection. Like I said, I could dive into that probably much longer than I will right now. And that's another podcast for another day. But understanding it, that original context, is something very important. And we can see it in Jesus, in how he speaks, and it carries over to us, right? On how are we able to respond in thanksgiving, not only in our prayer life, but in our actions for when God answers a prayer, to tell everyone everything about it. Let's take a look at Psalm 16, while we've got a bit of time here. And I want to just see how this plays out. And in Psalm 116, we'll see this introduction, right, of acknowledging who God is. Then we'll see a description of the psalmist's state of distress. And then we'll see this expression of this intention to fulfill the vow and what that looks like in a psalm context, right? And so we'll just read through it and kind of parse it as we go. So right at the very beginning of it, verses 1 and 2 are that introduction, that call out, invoking God's name. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. So this acknowledgement of who God is in the psalmist's life. And then it goes on to this description of the previous state of distress. And you'll notice that it may seem like it's slightly embellished when you look at the wording. But to be honest, we also do this, right? When I stub my toe on the corner of the bed, which I seem to do an abnormal amount of times in the middle of the night, and I make the statement to Sarah saying, this is the most pain I've ever been in my life. She's like, okay, now, you know, calm down. It's a slight exaggeration, right? And I'm sure we all do this, right? But here we see in starting in verse 3, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. Right? So even here we see we see this acknowledgement of this previous state of distress and this previous prayer which was mentioned, right? I called out to God, God save me. God be gracious and righteous and show compassion. Protect me when I'm in low spots. And now what we see is also this acknowledgement of where God had taken them. Right? As return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And I love this, this picture of very Deuteronomic in its writing, very bringing you back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and heart and soul and mind and strength as it in Psalm 116 is very much talking about all of these different areas of how the psalmist has been rescued. But let's focus just a bit on that last part. Right? Starting in verse 11. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? So it asks that question, what shall I do now? And there's this, now this remembering of that promise, of that vow. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thanksgiving offering to you and call on your name. I will fulfill the vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful picture that it's painting here of what a psalm of thanksgiving, and not just what our prayer to God should look like when he answers our prayers, but what our actions should actually look like when he answers our prayers. Yes, there's that acknowledgement, right? I called on the name of the Lord. He answered. Verse 14, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people, meaning I will share about what God has done in front of all of the people. I will serve the Lord because I know he answers my cries. And then you get to this other, it goes even further down when it says in verse 18, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Meaning, I will praise you amongst my friends and my family. I'll praise you in the larger context. I will praise you in all of Jerusalem. I'm going to let everyone know, as the psalm finishes, praise the Lord. That I praise the Lord and who he is in my life. Isn't that a great picture? I mean, to read what we read last week with Psalms of lament and how people are in just their darkest moments, and I know we've all been there at different times in our lives, but there's these dark moments, yet we now also find ourselves in a place where we're giving psalms of thanksgiving. And I can't stress it enough as we look through this, is what a psalm of thanksgiving does not only in our prayer life, but in our active living as Christ followers. And next week, what I really want to do is to be able to look at how we should pray about this. We're going to look at what it means to pray with boldness in our lives. And I love this picture of praying with boldness, and I don't want to already jump into next week, but it's something you can see when you look at the context of your own prayers, and then you can look at the context of how kids pray, and it can be the smallest thing, but they just pray with such fervence and such boldness for the smallest things and the biggest things, right? Whether it is that they want grilled cheese sandwiches for lunch tomorrow, or whether it's they get to stay up a half an hour late, or whether someone is sick. They pray with boldness, knowing who God is. And so I want to take a look at what praying with boldness is. We're going to look in Ephesians, actually, as we and Psalms, but as we kind of continue along this prayer line. I hope you are enjoying kind of as we look at prayer, especially since we probably have a bit of time and more time than normal to do it these days. And so I think this will be good for us. But again, kind of the thing that I want us to take away from today is what are asking the question, what are our actions when God answers our prayers? And how do we talk to God when he answers our prayers? And really that fun little part about, I mean, a fun fact that I'm sure will make you very, people will be very impressed about it when we finally get to have dinner parties and have people over and somehow the Psalms comes up or Jesus' parables is, I really love that understanding that original context first. As you understand Jesus' parables, especially of the lost coin and the lost sheep, you see that this is a reflection of Psalms of Thanksgiving in every part of it. And so you can understand how the first readers and the first listeners to Jesus' parable would have really understood this, understanding it in light of Psalms of Thanksgiving. So how are we thankful, and what are we actually doing about it? Are we thanking God, and are we sharing it, sharing that thanks and sharing what God has done with others? And so I think I'm going to leave it for there today as we look at Psalms of Thanksgiving. Again, we're kind of going down this path of rest and then prayer and lament, which work perfectly with what Pastor Cliff had talked about last week out of Lamentations, and now Thanksgiving and how we react. And next week, praying with boldness. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so we'll take a look at that, and then maybe we'll talk about some other things that we pray for as well, whether it's wisdom, and yeah, again, I'm already feel like I'm jumping into another podcast, so why don't I pray? We'll stop there, and I hope you're enjoying this, because I am enjoying really taking a look at prayer and what this means to us. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you that we can worship you in prayer. And God, as we give thanks for what you've done in our lives, I pray that it would not fall to the wayside about sharing what you've done in our lives. Such an important part for us as Christ followers to do, God, that we are vital witnesses. Psalms of Thanksgiving are witnesses to others as well, not just giving thanks to you. And I pray that our words to you will glorify you and who you are, and acknowledge who you are, acknowledge who we are, acknowledge what you've done in our lives, and then we are able to share that acknowledgement of who you are to us with others. I pray that our words would be ones of being that witness, and God, that even in this time, we know you're at work, and that your kingdom is growing. And so we just pray that we will be able to be that witness, and we give thanks to you for that. And we just pray these things all in your name. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me again today, wherever you may be and whatever day it is you're listening to this. I hope you're enjoying this journey as we go through this. And I will talk to you next week as we take a look at praying with boldness and what that looks like in our lives. So take care, have a great week, and we'll be back next week.